Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Daryl's brought to you by Shavin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Do you have a power ranking, Daryl? You ready?
Yeah, sure. Why
Let's
not?
Let's go. Off we go. Let's go. Let's hear it.
Number three, Corey Bjorkaeus.
Okay. Good.
Number two, Alex Wright. And just to troll you all, number one, Jerry Jeudy.
Thank you. Thank you. Deshaun Watts is not in the top three, Tone. You're a liar. You've lied to yourself. You've lied to the fans.
Did he not make some clutch third down plays? Were not some of those scrambles vintage, dare I say, Deshaun Watson, Daryl?
There were a couple. There's a gleam, man. That's what you get out of that yesterday from Deshaun. You got a little hint. There might still be a little something there, but still not the dominant all-pro performance we're looking for. But it's a step in the right direction.
I said it was acceptable. Did you find it? You found it acceptable?
Yes. Yes. First half was actually really, really good for the Browns offensively. Not enough points, but they dominated that first half and basically played keep away. 20-10 time of possession ratio there. But the second half, things just stalled out for whatever reason, and they got bogged down. And they really didn't put the game away. Deshaun gets a demerit for the lack of awareness late in the game, which he tried to throw there on 3rd and 6, stopped the clock, allowed Jacksonville to get the ball back with almost 90 seconds to go, and that's why everyone had to hold their breath at the end of the game. Had he taken the sack, time would have run off the clock. Jacksonville would have had a lot less time to work with, and I don't think it would have been as, nail-biting at the finish as it was. So I don't know why Kevin Stefanski didn't just call for a run there, but I gotta ding Deshaun there for just a complete lack of awareness and giving Jacksonville a free timeout and more time to play with.
Daryl's dinging him. Tone?
Well, yeah, I mean, I did ask Ken earlier in the show if that goes poorly, if it ends up being a fumble, it's scooped up for a touchdown, or he throws an interception there, because it was very chaotic. That could have gone so many worse ways than it did. What are we saying about the Watson performance? Well, somebody who power ranked him in my MVP list yesterday.
It's a lie because you're lying.
He would have been number one in the power rankings for losing the game. That's what would have happened, right?
Yes.
Well, were you surprised at the play call?
Yes. It was stupid. You don't throw the ball when you're trying to run out the clock.
I don't think he was supposed to really throw it, though.
Yeah, I don't mean it. Again, that's why I hesitate criticizing Kevin, because I don't have any idea what the play call was. Either way, he shouldn't have thrown the ball. He should have taken the sack.
Well, if it were a designed pass, would Kevin have said what he had said in the post game, where he said he got mad at Deshaun in that moment?
Yeah.
Gun.
Yeah. So, and that's one of those rare times when Kevin actually came out and said something critical about a player, because he typically doesn't do that.
It was like a compliment sandwich, though. There was like a little bit in the middle there. He's like, I was mad, but he did great.
All's well that ends well, right?
Honestly, Daryl, that was the most critical I've ever heard anybody in the organization or the coaching staff be of Deshaun Watson, even though you're right, he sandwiched it between a lot of nice things.
Yeah, and that's how you do it. I mean, that's just, Kevin is such a professional. That's how you do it. Mike Tomlin does this in Pittsburgh, too, where you slide the criticism in with a compliment or two so it doesn't come off like you're taking the shot at a player when you're really also trying to take a shot at the player. You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was a good job by Kevin yesterday. But, yeah, just that play really, really bothered me, because that is late game awareness that you have to have. It's great we can talk about it in a win, right? They're 1-1. Everyone can step back from the ledge now. The hapless New York Giants are coming to town this weekend. So opportunity for them to get above 500 and hopefully start to really get the ball rolling here and stack some wins. But, man, that play could have really been an epic disaster. Thankfully, it was not.
Of monumental proportions, Darryl.
Well, that game felt like it was slipping away from them in the second half. It really was. And to their credit, they made just enough play. Look, the game should have been over when Alex Wright had the safety. That should have been ball game right there. Yeah. Jacksonville should have never saw the football again. That should have been it. But again, all's well that ends well. Won the game.
Can you help us at all? Like, Lyme and I had a great big disagreement, and we were going, well, we don't really disagree with each other. We're just confused. This was yesterday after the game. On a free kick, can you onside? What was that? Like, what was the whole thing? Because they were like, he booted it straight up in the air.
Where they could just fair catch it.
Like, it was like a Charlie Brown kick. And I'm like, is he allowed to fair catch it? What is the rule, Darryl?
Yeah, well, I was always under the impression you had the choice to kick from the tee or punt. And I thought you used to be able to try onside kicks with a quote-unquote free kick. Apparently not. And he went with the pop-up to try and see if it would either drop between players and roll around and they could jump on it, or they could just, you know, run and catch it themselves. I mean, it was a admirable attempt by Jacksonville because he did a nice job popping it up real short, and the Browns did a real good job getting under that thing. And, you know, yes, the Browns can fair catch.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At any time. So, Jacksonville did a good job trying to, you know, make something happen there. But I think that Bubba Ventrone's special teams unit also did a great job handling it.
Well, I think there's a lot of confusion on the rules right now about onside kicks. It's supposed to be the fourth quarter, and you have to notify the other team when you onside kick. And then we were wondering earlier in the show, we were half joking, and then we got really serious about it. But did the Browns know that you can't run, the kicker cannot run past, well, what is it, the 50-yard line?
Yeah, until the ball is touched. Yeah, I would assume that they knew that. We're seeing this across the league, not so much that specific infraction, but the first 2 weeks you are seeing they call it illegal formation. That's the technical penalty. You're seeing various illegal formations on kickoffs around the league. So I think it's going to take a couple of weeks for everybody to really get on board with all the minute details within this new, they're calling it the dynamic kickoff rules. That was a tough one, because the Browns could have had a turnover there, and Dustin Hopkins crossing the 50 cost them too early there. So yeah, you gotta wait until the ball is touched before the kicker can get across the 50-yard line, which I don't understand that rule. I don't know why that is in place. That really doesn't make sense to me, because it's 11-on-11, and he's not entering the—I call it the engagement zone, where the teams line up 5 yards away from each other, right? That part of the rule I don't get. I don't know if it's for kicker safety or whatever, but that little detail trips me up a little bit.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. There are people who want you to do Daryl's Dingers on Mondays. Can you do a segment called, can you do part of this segment called Daryl's Dingers at all? Let's think of this.
Well, what's it going to be? Like what? Just
When you got to dig them, you say, I got to dig them. And I say, well, right. Daryl's digging people, Lima. Like, so you got some diggers.
Yeah, we can do that. Sure.
Mitch, remember it because I'm going to forget. Okay, Mitch is going to remember it. Then
the inaugural member of Daryl's Dingers
is
Deshaun Watson.
What? You didn't think it was very good, huh?
No, at the end of the game. Not running the ball. Throwing the ball on third down.
Overall, let me ask you this. I mean, at the end of the game, so I can't, I'm not ignoring the end of the game, but I can't talk about the rest of the game because I didn't think he was outstanding, but I thought it was obviously much better.
In the first half, he was really good. You know, in the second half, I think it would have been better had they had that drive where he hit Judy for the 30 yards. It was a beautiful throw. And then he came right back and hit Judy for another quick 5 yards escaping pressure. They get down into the red zone. Dante Foreman gets called for the offensive face mask because he tackled the defender, brought him down with him by the face mask. Then he had, Ethan Posick and Joel Bitonio both got called for holding. So Kevin Stefanski had trouble finding 3rd and 36 on his play call sheet, which I can't fault him for that. I think that had that drive turned out a little better, might have made the numbers look a little better for Deshaun. It was good enough to win, okay? You saw positive signs. You saw some of the athleticism. You saw him get the ball out much quicker. He wasn't holding on to it like he was the week before. He didn't look like he was lost out there like he did against Dallas. So a positive step in the right direction. Still not where I think he needs to be, but it was good enough to win a football game. And again, it was better than it was the week before. And that's really, be honest with you, Ken, because it was so bad in week one.
Yeah.
That's all I was asking for. Yeah. I was asking for the bare minimum. So from my standpoint, I got the bare minimum. I'm happy with it. Now I need to see it get better and better and better in the weeks to follow here.
How is Miles and how is Denzel?
Well, Denzel only played 11 snaps yesterday. He said after the game he's on a pitch count. So luckily they got through a game with with their two key defenders banged up. Myles Garrett basically said he's going to be dealing with this foot injury for a little bit. He's going to try not to play it up or make a big deal of it. He definitely affected him yesterday, but another strip sack for him. Still was able to pressure the quarterback. He kind of gets a little, at least in my view, I think he gets a little assist there on the safety with Alex Wright providing the pressure from the opposite side. But it is something that's, and it's the same foot. He told us on Friday, it's the same foot that he suffered the dislocated toe at the 2023 Pro Bowl games running that dumb obstacle course they had guys running. But the injury is not related to that, according to Miles. So it's going to be a week-to-week thing for him that he's going to try and play through.
Daryl, just one more thing on the Cooper aspect of it. People are wondering if, he's having issues the first 2 weeks because of the contract thing and then him potentially getting traded. I mean, do you have any belief that could be the case?
Yeah, I mean, anything's possible. I mean, these guys are human, and Amari, believe it or not, he's human. I'm surprised by the two drops in the first 2 weeks because that's not Amari Cooper. He's just so good at what he does, running routes, catching footballs. So just very unusual circumstances for him. I don't know why that is, other than just filing it under stuff happens. But, hopefully we don't see too many of those going forward.
All right, Daryl. Thank you very much for your time. Daryl's Dingers next week.
You betcha, Ken.